Does what?
Wait a second. What's his question?
It's joining you.
Say something.
Good morning and welcome to our August class on variety of mainly special situations. A special situation can be any special situation you want to bring up over and above the special situations we will formally deal with.
This is Bryce.
Okay? Everybody got everything? Have to have absolute attention. I get very sensitive when people talk over me. I get sensitive. You gotta hear Schmidt. He goes into rage. Rohan, of course, nobody ever tries to talk over him. He's got that. Holds people in common standards. Special situations we will be specifically dealing with up here is turf to dirt, the tandem race, finding the place source for the purpose of betting exotics, a little bit more into finding contenders, eliminating non-contenders, which will be one of our first subjects. And the use of energy per se, and especially the use of energy to confirm or to alter your perception of the Brohammer model. A lot of people have the problem. Please raise your hand if you're one of them, that if the Brohammer model is 3-2-1, you're going to bet 3-2-1, then 3-2-2 regardless, and then 3-3-3 comes in and you say the model's gone kaprooey. How do you check that? How do you confirm the model? What? What fourth unit do you use? Thank you. Very good. If, we went into this last time very much. If the twos and ones on early are earned at about a 53 or 53.20 to 52.80 that area, but your ones and twos, which are the model horses you're looking for, are running in excess of 54, then they're running too early. So maybe your threes and fours on that particular ranking model will be better. Therefore, you cannot just use your rankings on a Brohammer model under these special situations. Now, you go on for weeks where your rankings are sufficient. But you will find times when there are deviations to the degree that ones and twos, which were formerly what you wanted, are too fast, too early. You have to confirm your rankings with a percentage early. Is that clear? We went into that last time, sir.
Well, when I see what looks like a really good horse and its percentage early is outside the range of what's winning, I double check another couple of races to confirm that that's a real running style. Sometimes it's an aberration.
Yeah, that's very true. If sometimes you'll have to use it because that's the only pace line that's logical, and then you'll have to say that I'm going to use this anyway, even though that's not the way it usually runs, but it suddenly came alive under the circumstance, got in trouble early and came from farther off the pace than it usually comes off, or it got out earlier than it usually does. Those are things. You can't come up with a specific regimented answer for everything. This is a sport of variables. But within a certain parameters, the variables are highly predictable. That's all you're looking for. Too many people of us, among us, I was one of them, get hung up on a loss and it destroys our confidence. You're supposed to lose as much as 35 out of 100. And when you do lose, generally speaking, the reason is because of some deviation from those things that you have practiced on and learned and are expecting to happen. Even Tom Hamilton loses once in a while.
I do.
Used to drive him buggy.
Oh, Doc!
Yeah, it sure did.
Not anymore. Now, you take it more. But you will get worried more about a loss why you didn't have it. Because his whole psyche was concentrating on winning that race. Didn't win that race, it threw him off. The more times you win in succession, the more often you win, the less those things will disturb you.
Tom enjoys losing now.
Right.
The doctor now can enjoy losing. The doctor's cured him of extreme pressure.
That's right.
I lost the race. It was wonderful.
That's why I talked to you about this morning, how much fun I had losing my race the other day.
All right, we've got some things on the blackboard with you. Anybody have a question? Now, some of you don't ask questions when they come to your mind. You should. No dumb questions. There's only dumb people who get mad at you and have to answer, so don't worry about it. You're looking at your total energy, and depending on whether you're using Phase 3 or UltraScan, you have a W or an UltraScan ranking. It is either raw or adjusted depending on how you handle the race. And you got early, sustained, and percentage early. Now, each one of those in numbers and in rankings tells you something. The higher the total energy, the faster the horse ran, generally speaking, naturally. The more sustained the horse ran, the higher the total energy, because the final fraction of a race, being of a shorter distance, will produce higher numbers than the longer second quality. The imbalance will be imperfect consequently. You can tell when a horse ran sustained by its higher total energy figure. Percentage early, within the parameters, and Jay Elliott's working on that thing, and it's quite revealing. Parameters are very, very limited. They are not as wide as many people have perceived. The reason people perceive a wide variation in total, in percentage early by distance, is that when the track is running extremely early, as opposed to when it is running sustained, they will take the difference. As opposed to those days when it is running early, the difference is only about 0.32, sometimes much less to define the deviation. When it was running sustained, the same difference, 0.16 to 0.32 was the difference. The wide difference was between when it was running early and sustained. Follow that? You've got two areas of parameters. Everybody has it on their computer. If you have a handheld computer, there are sometimes when it's running early, and there are sometimes when it's running more sustained. When it's running early, the difference between the early figures is seldom more than 0.32. When it's running sustained, it's seldom more than 0.32. But if you want to take an average and not notice when it's sustained and when it's early, then you've got a 0.64 or higher deviation. But within the framework of early or late, the deviation is very slight, and that's a long study he did. It's a very revealing thing. So it's up to you to determine by distance how it's running on a given day. And that's very simple. How many of you, after each race, take out your handheld computer, put the energy calculation program, and determine how that ran? Great, great. And those who are not are costing yourselves money. You put it down on the form, and you've got, the only thing that you're obligated to do, and you got three shots at it, is to see where the winner was at the second call. So the first thing I do when I go to a new track, or any of us do, is we go out there and we say, which one of those poles is the second call? By distance, you know, it's not the same. The finish line's the same, so they got to move the second call around by distance. Find out where it is by distance. Memorize that point. When the horses hit that point, you look to see, now you don't know who the winner is, so on the first go around, you don't know. Guesstimate. Oh, that was the winner. Yeah, I think he was. Now you get on the TV and you really spot it. And then you have another shot at it, spot it again. If you're off a length, it's not all that big a deal. But you're going to find, and the first time we told people to do this, they said, oh, I can never do that. Well, the heck, that stupid chart car makes a living doing it. You think he has some special gift?
He doesn't.
And you're going to find out that you, after doing it a few times, a week or so, are going to be just as good as any chart caller. And you look at the paper the next day, you'll start taking pride in being within a neck what it says in there.
Chart color, this goes by the video picture.
And he's supposed to be doing, watching the race.
He's that good, he can remember a world.
Well, he's supposed to be, he's very good with the first four or five, if he's, you know. But yes, he double checks himself. Now, he didn't used to, believe me, in the old days, it was a, they would shun the video. They were so proud, but you get a new breed of people who have, don't take as much pride in their work, now they check the video.
What I've been doing is waiting until I get the next week's variance to go back and to get the percent early on the way. You know, there's a week off of that. But is it accurate?
Well, the point is that.
That hasn't changed.
I'm trying to answer certain questions have been posed to me anonymously. It's like, how do you spot a change on a given day if you're at the track? And suddenly you perceive a change. How do you tell? Because it wasn't necessarily a change, you see. Early, Dennis, this is very important for you too. If the early pace on this particular race is 44-4, and I'm usually running in 46, the horse dies, and a closer comes on and wins, you've got to check the closer's percentage of energy. It just may have been that the early horse ran too fast, and the closer still ran 52-80 to win the race. You've got to watch that. You cannot. This is the biggest problem everybody has who has the problem, and a lot of you have had it, you who now don't have it. And that is, you eyeball a race, and you say, oh, heck, the early is winning all this race. Until you look on your thing, and you find out that early is 47, when yesterday it was 46, and they're really, the early speed is, the wire-to-wire winners are there, or close to the pack, winners are there, but they're running in 52-20. So you've got to double check it that way, and it's very simple. Just go and look on the TV. We all did it, and I had a bunch of new people who had never done it before. Say they were doing it, but I could tell they'd never done it before, because they were within, one of them had seven lengths, one nine, one, you know, it was all, by the end of the day in Omaha, they were all doing it pretty well. And as they did it better, they won more. They all had the triple on the last race, or the trifecta on the last race, because they now figured what they were doing. It doesn't take much work. Dick can do it. I can do it. And neither one of us have any particular talent in this direction. Rohammer does it with a clock in his head. He's like a jockey. Yeah.
Can I respond to
you? You may.
There's no reason to wait that week. You're a little bit behind the times because you're going to be betting in the meantime. And that variant has almost no effect on the percent of the race.
Almost none. Okay, so it's really not sensitive.
No. But wait, just almost nothing. You know, like 0.02 or 0.01, depending on how big the variant is. So waiting like that is just kind of costing yourself.
So you can just wait till the next morning and get the actual charts.
Some people want to take advantage of when something happens during the day. Now, at Del Mar, this will happen. Tides and things will change it. Up in Golden Gate, I'll get you in a minute, Bob. Up in Golden Gate, it happens. They think it's tied, but what it really is they got only two or three good class races. So they start from the seventh, it'll change the sustained. And everybody thinks that has something to do with the surface. It doesn't. Class races are almost always more sustained. Even when they're early, they're more sustained early. Because there's more contention to the wire class horse. Take a look at your Caliente horses sometime, running 110-1. You know what their final fraction is in 110-1? About 25-4. You know what our final fraction in 110-1 for a Hollywood Park horse? About 24-4. They run it all early.
Is that why, you know, say a maiden sprint, you know, to the second call, that it'll be about the same as a good claiming race, but the final time is
right.
It's a lot slower.
Yeah. Your great writers of the past, before the computer was born, perceived that class was the final fraction. Now, some people, after they determined classes in the final fraction, then came up with an ergo, which was incorrect. Therefore, the horse that runs the final fraction fastest got the most class bet on it. That didn't work.
Yeah.
That's the Colonel Bradley, 24-second.
Yeah, I gotta get the problem I have is, let's say that the printout indicates that the horse is a 53-35 early percent. You go back to 6 furlong race, he's pretty much in that parameter. Comes back and wins the race at 51-80.
Okay.
How do you justify that one?
Okay. This is, that's why this is here. Having known you were going to ask that question, you have to look at the style versus solar energy. The style is a horse has a definite style, as Tom, in an exercise we did when he was doing his ESP, his early sustain and the presser, which he used to call something else. The style of the horse is governed by the matchup, the pace of the race. And a lot of times you will find that the matchup is such that the energy is not as predicted, the percentage early. However, by some ironic situation, which I don't want to fight, predicting it before the fact got you the winner, even though the winner ran at a different energy percentage. Because it had in the paper matchup, it had the proper energy.
So that, on that day, so that's the fourth, the third 6 furlong race, the other two are running around 53%, this one went 51.80, and you got another 6 furlong race coming up. What do you do?
I would not. That's a good opinion, and I answered that yesterday for a young man who asked the question. You've got to look at the race itself to tell whether that's a change in the track. What caused that horse? Must have been no early pace. He ran against a paceless front and got away with murder. You look at the matchup. The early pace may have stalled at the gate. It may have stumbled. It may have been blocked. The early horse, you have to say, who is going to run 53? Who's going to take this and run a 53% early? And say, what happened to that horse? It didn't function. Consequently, it was one with no pace. Now, if you had the regular fraction run, and he still got away with it, then you say that the early pace just absolutely died. Now you're suspicious. Does that early pace horse usually die? No. Maybe the track just did change. But that's a judgment call you got to make. In that case, what I would do is go with the best early and the best sustained.
There's just no answer to this. It's just no, right. It depends on what the situation was. If you get, knowing you, you probably have a specific race in mind.
Yeah, third
it's
race
probably the race the dishonorable guest won the other day. See? I got to tell you something. That's a fluke. That is not his running style. I guess when the juice took effect, he came running, because that is not his running style. I threw that race out as an aberration.
Well, the race was borrowed also.
Yeah, but that race was with, there was no legitimate front runner race. See, the Barnum race, those front runners were really suspect. That was, yeah. There are two different situations here. One of them, dishonorable guest, just ran against his normal style. I mean, you just throw that out and say, that's why we can't win all the races. The Barland race was a little more explainable because there was just really no good speed in there. And what speed was in that race, they just all locked up. And Barland came running. Plus, you know, he's probably a better horse in that field. But those are two different situations. And in both cases, I throw those races out in terms of percent early. But you got to deal with it in terms of the race you're looking at. And that's why Howard's got so many different answers for you, because it just depends on which one.
So would you have passed that Barland race, or would you have been?
I did pass the Barland.
Okay.
But I also threw it out.
I put the two front horses.
Because it's a biased track for front runners,
right.
But that race itself was so bad.
It made me nervous, but I still went. You know.
But the dishonorable guest race, I just threw it out as an aberration. And besides, if he runs that much shorter, the race fits right to your pattern anyway, because then much by gold wins and percent energy. Because I ran a percent energy on the second place finisher also, that would have tracked perfectly. So it's just a fluke. I mean, there are such things. Yeah, dishonorable guess. Just
that's 35%. You're going to throw this great.
That's right.
It seemed like Barland was a much better horse than those horses.
I think he is.
So.
Yeah. And I think that explains that.
Another thing to do in that situation is, if you keep records of the part generator program by distance, you will find what is the slowest third fraction that ever won a given distance. Say you've got 50 races and you find out, let's say it's 6 furlongs. Keep it on all and you say, never has a horse at this level who runs a third fraction in less than 26, or more than 26, let's say, has won a race. Well, there was one way done here. So you're saying, hey, they've got to, these early horses, who conform to Del Mar's early sprint pattern right now, for instance. They've all won with no worse than a X third fraction, whatever it is. Now look at that same race you're talking about and see what kind of third fractions your early pace is giving you. When they're all very close to the maximum that you're going to allow or over it, you can say, hey, this is set up for a closer. They're not going to hold on in a fast charging, hard charging lurker, presser, closer has a bigger chance. And of course, the whole thing that Tom did a few weeks ago, which he can review for you again today, if you see a more than two, fortunately, they just have to have the lead to win. Two doesn't bother anybody, according to current statistics, which are still being bandied around even though they're almost 10 years, well, they're 10 years. You ought to check all those statistics that you read in a book for yourself and on your own track. Those are guidelines, and very good guidelines out of 1978. But the contention he has that when two early pace horses go out and vie for the lead, they will not cook each other, and that will not set it up for a sustained horse. But we have found that when there are more than two, we just absolutely have the lead and don't do well without it, we'll go for it, that you can look for a much more sustained finish than you'd ordinarily have. Unless one of those three or more is both an early pace and a sustained horse. You know, there are some horses that just have enough strength. Their average third fraction, even though their average second call might be 44 and 4 or 45, their average third fraction is under 25. That horse can go out of the way. So look at all the fractional matchups, too. If you've got four horses in a race that will show 50-180 or 52-10, and you got one in there that's consistently 53, and he's only two lengths off at the second call, he is not what you call a closer. He is a lurker, he's a presser. You've got to make sure, unless you've got a situation like you'll occasionally have at Santa Anita, and like you've had at the lower class races and sprints at Del Mar, where all you got to do is get a comfortable lead and everybody pulls behind them. But bear in mind that the higher the class of the race, the less likely that's going to happen. Class horses do not give up as readily because someone has a four-length lead on them as your three-year-olds and your lower claim.
In regards to watching races and figuring out, I've been using the poles on the rail, the distance between two poles is one length. Does anybody have a comment on it? I don't even know if that's right.
Hugh Maul says that's what the chart color does.
Is that what?
And those are 10 feet apart, and that's, okay. So he sees the length. Yeah.
Because it's hard. I mean, once anybody can see a neck or a half length or three quarters or a length or even two lengths. But if your horse is back a little bit and it's making a move, how much of a move did he really make?
You know? He sees it that way. He sees it that those poles are very big guides to the eye.
I didn't realize that they were 10 feet apart, but I just thought that it just seemed like they were about the length of a horse or so.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, he got a big thing on that. But of course, remember with us, it doesn't matter how long a horse is.
That's right.
It absolutely means nothing. It has nothing to do with handicap. You could have each length 2 feet if you want. 1 foot. 28 feet. Whatever you want. It's all relative to the formula you use. Reviewing it. Physics and mathematics, not in the length of the horse. It is nice to be able to gauge, though, how many lengths it is behind the second call by the same standard used by the chart caller, which Tom has observed is very good. Those little fence poles, those barber things that they got there in 10 feet are helpful. Okay, you look at your total, you look at your early and your other factors. Remember, if a horse doesn't have enough total energy, this is, of course, goes back to the variant, same concept as the variant. If he doesn't have enough total energy, it doesn't matter whether he's the head of the pack. He's gone up over his head. So look at total energy as well, those of you who have it on your program. Or variant energy for those of you who have it. They both perform the same function. How many of you played the first race at Del Mar on opening day? Did anybody put Nostradamus? It's on page 3. I'm sorry, I reduced it. I had a client who was desperately waiting for synergism because he felt that when he'd win races like this, he wouldn't win races like this if he did what he did. Synergism wouldn't help him. Now, how many of you just look over this race on page 3 and 4? I've already given you my comments. Maybe they're a little harsh in some cases, and you want to take issue with them, which is fine with me. He put Nostradamus in, among others, and of course did not get the winner, had Nostradamus on top. Now, can anybody tell me why you would, if you're going to play a three horse exact, and this was incidentally, they had an exact on this race.
Yeah, I did.
You might put him in as a third horse, just in case he suddenly ran away again. Why would you consider Nostradamus as your prime bet and run to the window? Anybody? He wasn't even the favorite. I guess he was. Well, but he sure was a tippy favorite. $4.20 to one. Yes, I did make it. These are marvelous races when you see these kinds of odds.
Jeez.
The ninth race are frequently like this. They couldn't make up their mind, so they got the favorite at 4.20 to one.
Who was the favorite?
Nostradamus. He finished a gallop four. They didn't pay off for that.
I mean, he's never won at anything above 12 fines.
Right, that's a start.
He went to 16 and couldn't hack it.
Right. He said he's only got 86% of per. Now, this is why we have you do average purse values. And this is why we have you do the X's and O's. The purse value is not in itself, it's something that you run up and bet on one way or the other, but it sure tells you something. Look a little farther. Why is this favorite only got 86% of the purse? Because all his money was made at $12,000, $5,000, and $10,000. He tried 16, he came in 7th. He got claimed twice. Obviously, to me, they want to keep this horse. I think he's got some promise. He's had a couple of wins in the last year.
7 years old,
and he never, it's the best thing he's ever done is a $6,000, it was in the far lap handicap down at, I thought that was in Australia, but it was an all kind.
That's a good move, sir.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, the man rushes to the window and wonders why he couldn't get this race. So, does anybody big issue, Dennis, anybody? Did anybody put this horse in? Or if you did put him in, I can look at him and I can tell you right now. Here's how I can tell. Here's a little tip for you. He's got a 90 speed rating and a 14 daily variance in the racing. Okay, that's pretty good. Now I'm looking through this bunch of horses and I come to Tio Nina, who was beaten 2 3/4 length, has a 88 speed rating at this level. So the horse, even by speed rating standards, only 2/5 off, 2 lengths off of this horse at this level. That tells me that there isn't that much difference between this horse who was beaten at this level at 2 3/4 lengths and this world beater that. And the track at this distance is running sustained. Now, anybody can do the energy on Nostradamus' win? Wire to wire win?
I could.
The angle player probably drew a lot of money. Double plane force.
I would
have
guessed sustained.
Yeah. That's a great angle. Double plane. Plane twice.
Yeah.
Now, if the original owner claimed it back, think that's an angle too.
Doesn't mean it's gonna win anything though.
No.
If he doesn't have the figures.
Listen, I talked to, who was it telling me that, you wanna know where the sand pile was at Delmar, how much, were they sanding the track or taking it off? And he asked two of the most brilliant trainers, and who are they? Whittingham?
I talked to Charlie Whittingham and Neil Drysdale.
Neil Drysdale. They didn't know where the sand pile was. Well,
they didn't know when the track was being cut.
They don't know. They don't care. Trainer angles.
Yeah.
What can you do about it?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference.
They do a lot of the horse a week, 2 weeks in advance, they don't know. You can't worry about things that are outside of your control, your handicap or all your thing.
I got an hour train, I know where the sand pile was.
Wow, yeah.
His energy doc was 53.98.
I tell you anything?
His early was 51.96, which is acceptable.
Yeah.
Except that he can't run at this level.
The energy at this level is 54.10, and the early is 51.20.
That's unadjusted now. There's no adjustment.
No, there's no reason to adjust. I guess you used to
run. Well, the race was won at 50.78 early.
Hmm? Race was?
50.78 early. So it's really sustained.
Yep, very sustained, and 51.20 was the standard at the time. That he got right equipment. Total was 54.10. That's pretty good for this.
One way to cure that, as far as if you see a race like that and you just, oh, this horse looks like the second coming of whoever, is just use his last line or as close as high class level as possible, and then check his variant energy against the winner, and you'll see it's 3 or 4 or 5 lengths difference. That's the answer. I learned that from myself.
There's no single answer. The single answer is he's not going to win the race, and if he does, that was one of those that you didn't win. How often does a horse go from 12 to 20 with a bad last race? You know, if he would, if he'd gone to 12, at 16, and won, you know, or done real well, and another jump. But this is the biggest bugaboo we've got. People, why go back 2 races anyway? When today's 20, go back to 12 mile. Why do that anyway? Well, why not use the last race and forget him? But they see a good line recently, say, oh, well, gee whiz, he's a favorite, Mom. Gee whiz, look at there, he's 4-1 favorite. We'll be getting $10 on that. All right, now let's go down a little farther. Now, Fast Traveling News has 120% of purse, so we got to look at him a little bit more strongly. Had a bad last race, bad second race back, but he went wide. So we have to say to yourself, okay, 16, he didn't do well. 12.50, he didn't do well. The 12.5, 3 races back, he did fair. But what did he do? He did just about the same. He would be quite a contender if he wanted to go 3 back. Can anybody give me a real reason to go 3 back? Has Rohammer got a reason to go 3 back? He was a world beater for 2 straight races back there at 12.5.
But that's it. He has no back class for this level of 20,000.
Right. His 120% of purse was in purses gauged at the 12.5 level. The 12.5 is where he does well. Same Nostradamus. You think? Anybody disagree?
Rohammer agrees.
That's all right. We'll move on to the next horse.
It's not even certain contender guidelines anyway, and he doesn't fit anyway, so I mean, I wouldn't have spent that much time on this one.
This is an interesting horse. He's got 89% of the purse, but he's been running at this level. Now, you can leave him in if you want. You can go back 3 if you see that you really want to. The one excuse you had to go back 3 is that the last was the wrong distance for him. You can excuse it. The one before that, he didn't do all that badly, and he broke out in bumps. So if you want to go, I wouldn't. Didn't. But what do you see about that line you would have to go back to if you went back 3? Anybody? I know it's small print and I should have made it larger. But quick, what do you see?
Well, it's December 86.
Right, that's got it, Jay. Different year. It's 3 years, that's right, that's the answer. I mean, I've done that, but I haven't done it on a horse that's 89% of first. On 189% of first, I go back 2 years if he's been off for a year or something. You can do a lot of things when a horse has been running well at a much higher level than you can with a horse that's 89. But the 89 tells me I cannot go back to 1986, period. Much as I'd love to. Is that all right? Is that all right? You agree with that?
See,
Tom agrees. Yeah, you know what?
It's real.
You don't have to put up with this. All right, we won't have you next time. Promise?
I promise.
No more one. Okay, anyway, there's no reason to throw Gary in out. He had his little pull up, and then after the pull up, he did very well. Was early for two good fractions, faded slowly. He ought to be ready now to race again. And he's 149% of the
time. He was the number one.
Whatever he pulled him up, he overcame.
He was the person.
All right, Cole. I know a lot of people like Cole, but this person went back four races for some strange reason to get him. He's run a lot of different levels. The last time he did well was at 32,000, so this is a temptation. I know a lot of people have this temptation to go back Santa Anita in March this year, and 171% of first. So if you do it, there's no one can tell you that you actually can't do that. If you feel you have to put it in.
Okay.
How many of you would leave him in?
I left him in March.
He didn't win the race. I mean, he didn't come up. I can tell you, here's why I put some horses in, and maybe you won't. I can tell you right now where Cole's rank's going to be. Off that race. He's going to have the second best sustained pace and nothing else. He's going to have a
third or fourth in W or ultra sustained stroke.
I'm looking at his final time. Final time is a good relative guide. If there were no big deal in the variant, the variant was not that fast track. Any reason not to take, well, I know you don't like Solano, and you don't like, you know, however, he ran it at Solano. It's not his fault that he said it was Solano.
Very sustained horse.
Turf horse, but he ran the last time, not on the turf, and he did well. So you're gonna have to face the fact that you're gonna have to now. What do you do about Solano though? You don't just take it raw from Solano to here without making some little kind of adjustment, do you? Okay. You're gonna find out that your adjustment factor.
He didn't come up that well in my peers that day. With a Solano adjustment.
You give the Solano adjustment, he won't come up. And then put him in cheaper to put him, get the weight off there.
Yeah.
So he's one of those horses. You cannot say that. And Tom got a 64th, whatever he got, 12,000, 18, 20, 30. Pick six on a Solano horse. 64, what is it, 60,000?
Sacramento horse, but same difference. Yeah.
Well, he also, no, he Ferndale. He may have been Sacramento to you, he's Ferndale.
Ferndale to you, yeah.
Which area line you took. Yeah, Ferndale. And Ferndale's worse than Solano by a lot.
Right.
You cannot. Yeah, blame the poor horse. You just have to penalize him. What, about 0.45 is enough?
Yeah, I forget what the amount is. But anyway, he's also like 9 years old. So.
Well, that may bother you, but I don't care how old. I think those old horses should be given a
good the senior citizens discount.
maybe they have Shepherd races carded for horses 10 and older.
Yeah. I saw in Hollywood Park, they entered a horse who had not raced since 1984. He was 11 years old, and I felt so sorry for the horse because he got on the racetrack and he looked like, Jesus, why am I here? I've been in retirement for 3 years. And he ran dead last by about 40 lengths, but I thought it was cruel that the owners would even put him on the racetrack at 11. I was looking at, I was figuring his APB, and I was, here's a pretty good APB, and I realized it was 1982.
You know, Bonnie Ledford told Bob Purdy the story that they were going to kick this trainer off the ground at Turf Paradise because he didn't have any horses. And you can't have, keep a stall if you don't have horses. He went down to the where the glue factory. They had to have a name for it. My horse was about ready to be put in and bought the horse just to have something to race. Came in second.
Tell us a little about trainers, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's, we're going to put that in our next place manual. That's one of the things to look at.
A one horse stable?
Okay, another great thing for place is when the horse doesn't get into the, you take him off the track before he gets to walk around, do all that stuff, they do. Take him back and they ready to take him right from the stall to the gate. Man, they do something there, I don't know, talk to him a little longer. Don't you tire yourself out walking around that track with those other horses.
You mean back after the post-parade, they don't?
Well, they start to come out of the gate and then they forget something. So he walk goes back.
The buzzer. That's what it is. They go back and get the buzzer.
Whatever they go back. Then they bring him out just in time to make it to the gate. He doesn't do all that prancing back and
forth. Sure, doesn't.
It's something. They're doing something with him, I'll tell you, because I've only seen it twice. Both of them won. It's a 100% stat.
There was a race a couple of weeks ago. The gate opened and the horse didn't poop.
Yeah. And the guy says, he couldn't figure out why his horse ran away. That's the owner. That's when Blue Ribbon Downs was the only place in this track.
Okay, we're going to leave you in El Mansur now. Now, this is very important for all you people said. I had trouble picking the contenders, baselines. You see, it's getting easier, isn't it? It's getting easier. You're going to say, hey, if he beats me, but I've got to knock off something with the fact that his best performance recently has been at Solano, and before that, Golden Gate. The horse has been a world beater up, you know, back in the first part of the year. Those are good times and good things at Golden Gate. 50,000 claimers, so the deterioration is only to be taken into consideration for track. So I'd probably just give him the Golden Gate kind of way. I think it'd be enough. But he's going to come up in your top four horses. Wouldn't you just give him the Golden Gate, Tom? I mean, the horse has got 172% of purchase.
Well, I would personally, because I know United Victory, the horse that beat him, was a legitimate $16,000 horse at Golden Gate Field, so there's no reason to think he's in a different spot.
And he was doing well, 50,000.
Yeah, but that would bother me. The fact that he was 40 to 16 in these last races still didn't win. But that doesn't change the baseline.
No, you use that baseline. And
sure. If you give him the Golden Gate adjustment,
give him 0.30 minus, it'll lower that. You're still going in your top four, but what's going to cook this horse for Del Mar? What's your second? You worry about this horse? What's going to make you stop worrying about it? Somebody do the early energy on her. 110 and 4.
We won't be around at the end of mile 16.
Delmar. When he gets on the dirt, he runs total contrary to his turf energy.
What about 53% early?
52.20.
52.20?
Yeah.
Not as bad, but it's good.
That's still a little high.
Yeah, that's too high.
Especially since he's got to go another half a furlong farther today. So
he did. He fell off pretty badly. Look at these final fractions. Look at these final fractions. Say, gee whiz, here's a horse who runs at 25.3 final fraction of a mile. Give that some thought. He still belongs in the race. Urban Cowboy is another situation. He's 181% of first. You've got to take a real hard look at him. But take a look at him when he's running. This this horse is not a rotter. One route and what, and here's my key to me. The two times he runs a route, he runs a 76 and a 77 speed rate. The worst router you got, they're running in the 80s in this race, the one that belonged in here. So if you put him in, if you put the horse in, here's the point I want to make. When you put a, you're going to put a horse in, the figures are not going to get him. So why put him in and clutter up your computer? You might get some readout that'll worry you. Urban Cowboy just has never been able to do in a sprint. Now, don't be taking his 7 furlong race 3 back and making some kind of adjustment on it, saying, boy, this horse can go route. Look at that 7 furlong. You just put him a little longer, he'll keep going. Well, why didn't he do it the next race out? You got ample proof here. You're detectives.
Well, you played it in that mile contest.
Sure did.
Back there.
Every time. And everybody said, but look, he was closing in that 7 furlong. That means he can go another. Well, he was closing the mile and he didn't do anything either. So, you got to say, I got to look at Urban Cowboy because 181% of purse, but it's all earned at sprints and today's the mile 16. You're going to leave him in, you're going to leave him in with great trepidation.
We ought to make another point here, too, and that is you got to consider form cycles. And a form cycle kind of starts all over again when somebody claims a horse. And as you can see, four back, he was claimed, and then he won right away, but that was with some other trainer's conditioning. And then if you look at the deterioration of that horse, look at the pace lines at the same level, he's not getting any better. So when you get tempted to run back and grab a line 3 or 4 races back on a horse like this, be very careful of doing that. I'd make him stick with one of his last 2 lines. I would go back and get him back in that 3rd race back.
Even if you did, he's still way behind him.
He's still ahead. He's too slow is what his problem is.
Does anybody know the rule of thumb?
The point is he might not be, but you still would want to back around that, right?
That's right.
You did. You know the difference. You're looking at speed ratings as a gauge. You know the difference between a sprint and a route speed rating, what the average difference is? If it's 88 in a sprint, it's going to be about 83 in a route. So just on that alone, he didn't run that 7 furlongs all that well. All right, now, everybody following all this? Anybody got any objections or any arguments? Because this seems to be, from the letters I get, and from this evidence, the man sent me this, this seems to still be a very big problem. The contention and baseline factor are not mutually exclusive. The contention factor helps you pick the baseline and vice versa. How about this percentage star?